Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, we've all seen these various articles that come out about not allowing children to go into certain places. And I've read some articles where they children weren't allowed in certain restaurants. Children saw one recently that there was a hairstylist studio, and they said no children were allowed there. We had a case recently, one of the presidential candidates, people made an issue out of the fact that he was joking about a baby crying during the presentation or the speech that he was given, and then he said, you know, get that baby out of there. I'm referring to Donald Trump. And so we see that, you know, this kind of trend, you know, that children shouldn't be in certain places, and we need to get the children out so that we can get to the real work of what needs to be taking place here, what we're trying to do. In some ways, sometimes it seems that that has kind of flowed over into the church and kind of have that mentality in the church today. Well, I wanted to talk about that on the program. There's a book called The Nursery of the Holy Spirit, Welcoming Children in Worship, and it's written by Daniel Hyde. And Daniel actually has a special program that is going on with this particular work of his, this particular book, where they're trying to get it written in, for Brazil. It'll be taken to Brazil and given out, you know, as part of a reform movement taking place in Brazil. So I wanted to get Daniel on to talk about this subject again, about children and worship, and then also to talk about, you know, how we can participate in this project of getting this book in the hands of some Reformed churches in Brazil. Daniel, let me just mention who Daniel is, and then we'll bring him into the program. But Daniel Hyde, he's the pastor of Oceanside United Reformed Church in Carlsbad, Oceanside, California. He's also the author of God in Our Midst, excellent book. Another one, Welcome to Reformed Church, Why Believe in God and Jesus Loves the Little Children. And he's also an adjunct instructor at Systematic Theology and Missions at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, and a member of the Advisory Council to Word and Deed Ministries. Daniel, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Well, Daniel, let's talk about children in worship and why you decided to write this particular book. I mentioned a couple of cases, the way that children seem to be now not allowed in so many different places, and now this is even happening in the church. What's your take on all this, and how did that lead to you writing this book?
Well, I thought about writing a book like this many, many years ago because our little church plant is a church where we wanted our kids to be in the service, and many of us came from churches. Those of us who had some church background came from churches where the kids might be in part of the service, but then they would leave for the sermon, especially, and then even other churches where kids had their own, basically their own church. I mean, out here in California, most of the big churches, the big mega churches, you can literally never step into a worship service with adults until you're probably, you know, married with kids, like out of college, like have a job.
Hmm.
So you have, you know, little kids church, you have junior high church, you have high school church, you have most times a college church. And then finally, you know, you go to the main sanctuary, the main worship center, and, you know, participate. So we wanted to have our kids in worship with us, but it's hard. Kids are squirmy. Kids are loud. You know, kids' attention spans aren't as long as they develop over time. So trying to figure out a way to encourage people, you know, what does Scripture say about this? You know, what are some key sort of principles and also some practical ways to help parents? And so that's kind of how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And so the book, you know, was written, and, you know, it's now out there, and people can read that. Yeah, I'm trying, like you said, we're trying to get it translated into Portuguese for Brazil.
Excellent. I want to talk more about that project in just a minute, but sure. How many children do you have yourself, Daniel?
Four kids,
okay.
Three boys and a girl.
So you're not writing just from theory. You're writing from experience, so you know what it's like trying to have the kids in the service, and like you were mentioning with the squirming and so forth. The basic statement that I hear people say is, well, the children really aren't going to get anything out of it. This past week, I was talking about some pretty heavy subjects in the service, like expiation and propitiation and substitution and all of these types of statements that I was making from the book of Jonah and so forth. So people would say, well, you know, my little child's not going to get anything out of that at all. Wouldn't it be better to have them in more of an age-appropriate church setting? And over there, although it may include some games and things like that as well, at least they're going to understand what the concepts are, and they'd get far more out of that than they will being in the service with the adults. You would say?
Well, I would say a lot of things. I would say, you know, sort of very simply, you know, parents out there should let their kids surprise them. I mean, we should not limit, you know, our kids. Now, again, they have a short attention span, and obviously, you know, does the word propitiation mean anything to a kid? Well, it doesn't mean anything to anybody until it's explained.
Mm-hmm.
So let your kids surprise you, number one. Number two, I would say, you know, don't limit what the Lord can do. I mean, trust the Lord that he's going to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, use his word, and he's going to communicate that word to people of different ages and different mental abilities, backgrounds, and even, you know, languages and so forth. So let the Lord do his work, you know, let our children be there. And I would sort of take a step back and say that, you know, at least in our congregation and in, you know, much of historic Christianity, you know, that idea of, you know, children being taught, you know, maybe at their level, that's what we've always done as families, you know, in what we call catechism or family worship devotions. That should be happening every single day. We should be reading the Bible with our kids, talking about the Bible with our kids, you know, singing, praying, you know, in our church and many historic churches, you know, we have a set statement of faith, what we call a catechism, which is questions and answers. So we do all that throughout the week, and we even have in our congregation and in many churches Sunday school where we teach the faith, we teach the Bible, you know, to our kids. So all that, I would say, should be happening already, but when we come together for public worship, it's a holy set, it's a holy time, it's a holy space. And we do believe that in public worship, the Holy Spirit works in a powerful way, and in many ways in a unique way than he does, you know, in other venues. And so it's not about information. It's not about, you know, learning what words mean and definitions and so forth. You know, there's going to be some of that, of course, but it's more than just teaching. It's more than just information. There is a spiritual aspect and component to it that we can't control and that we can't really sort of pin down and corner. So my response would be, you know, to let the Lord do his work, let our children be taught by the Lord, and just to recognize that, you know, as a parent, you know, we should be doing this hard work of teaching and modeling and praying, mm-hmm. Reading scripture, you know, throughout all the week, so that when they do come to church, you know, they've heard these stories. You know, you've talked about them for a few minutes throughout, you know, every day or throughout the week, so that they are able to absorb more, so that they're able to understand and come, we pray, come to trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen. For instance, with the word propitiation, too, you know, I spoke about it being the idea of appeasement, the appeasement of the wrath of God. And so, I mean, there's a concept that you could use then to convey to your children how that, you know, practically works out. And I would think that in the idea of the ultimate responsibility being there with the parent to convey these things to the children, in the service then, it would give them the opportunity to the parent to be listening and applying discernment to themselves. And as they're doing that, to be thinking, how do we break this down after the service, you know, when we're eating lunch, that we could then break this down to ask certain questions of our children, to ask them, did you know what this meant when the pastor spoke about this topic? It's a big word, propitiation, but appeasement. This is, you know, God is angry, rightfully so, at us because of our sin. How do we stop God from being angry at us? What is necessary in order to get him not to be angry with us because of our sin? So it can be done, and it could also be a great benefit then to the parents to be able to talk through the sermon that way with their children to help them in discipling their own children, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was thinking as you're saying that, you know, every Sunday I try to at least once, if not more, address the kids in the sermon. You know, you try to use language and illustration that helps them understand on their level so that, you know, they're sort of building up their knowledge. But also, like you just said, too, you know, besides me addressing the kids, yeah, this is how, you know, as a parent is thinking, as we're applying the word, you know, in a way that's faithful to Scripture, you know, we do want to encourage our parents, couples, singles, you know, to go home and reread the passage or think about the sermon, the points, maybe some of the questions that were brought up, and talk about it. You know, it doesn't take a lot of effort, a lot of time. You can even do it driving on the way home or walking on the way home from church. So, you know, it is the mentality, I would say, you know, in a congregation like mine would be more sort of holistic, more, you know, including everyone so that, you know, all throughout the Lord's Day, all throughout the week, you know, we are trying to think about these things as not only as a congregation, but also as whole groups of people, all the way down to individuals. So it's a much more holistic way of viewing the ministry, I would say.
Mm. Now, do you give any practical points to about some people may provide their children with a sheet of paper and a pencil or something, and they tell them, you know, write down certain points in the sermon and we'll discuss them afterwards. Or maybe even young children, you know, draw a picture of something that the pastor explained during the service, you know, so do something like that so that we can. I then want to see that after the service, and that's what I want you to do during the service. Do you use any sort of, you know, practical tips that way to help the children to focus and stay engaged in what's taking place?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a little sermon notes sheet that we have out for kids besides the normal bulletin, and, you know, other kids don't use that. They use their own notepads.
Mm-hmm.
After the service, you know, kids come up to me and I ask them for sermon notes. You know, they give me their notes so I can look at them. I can talk to them about it. I can, you know, encourage them. You know, some kids, of course, are small. They try to draw a little picture. But, yeah, you know, we're trying to encourage our kids, you know, to listen and to write words down, write notes down, write questions down, you know, sketch things out, even doodle things out. But also just through the whole service, you know, in the book, I give all kinds of, you know, practical ways that you can, from the earliest infancy all the way up, you know, encourage your kids in the service, help them participate, you know, sit up in a sit where they can see, you know, help them turn in the songs, if you have a hymnal, help them turn in a Bible, provide them at different levels of age, you know, different things to hold, you know, whether it's crayons or whether it's pens later on. You know, so encourage them to participate, and even as parents, you know, be whispering to your kids and helping them, you know, write things down you know, saying, oh, did you hear what you just said? You know, write this down, or, you know, let's think about that for real quick. So, you know, when I sit in the pew, when I'm not preaching, I try to, because we have four kids, you know, we kind of break it up and divide and conquer, but I sit by two and in between two kids, and, you know, on one side it's a 7-year-old, and one side it's a 12-year-old, and you know, I'm going back and forth, helping them listen, helping them write, helping them try to think through what they're hearing.
Well, good. I've seen a lot of that in practice. I see the idea of whispering to the kids. If I can make out the words right, it's like, wait till we get out of here. It seems to be what they're saying to them. And then I have seen them sit in between them, but it was more so that they could reach them when they had to.
Yeah.
They didn't want them to be out of arm's reach. But no, they're doing a great job of trying to bring their children and to help them sit through the service. And in the beginning, sometimes, like you say, it is a little bit louder as they're training their children to do this. But I've just watched in our own ministry, we watch that it gets better and better every week that goes on. And the children actually learn, you know, to be able to sit through the sermon. Of course, my sermons are so short anyways. I hope nobody calls in from the program, from our church, on that note. But, you know, they have learned to sit there and to do this. Let's talk about the program that you've got going on here, because this book then, you know, the book, The Nursery of the Holy Spirit, Welcoming Children into Worship. It's published by Wiffenstock. And this is the book that you want to have produced and then be part of the Reformed Worship in Brazil. Tell us a little bit about that program and then, you know, how it is that you're looking for help to be able to do this project.
Yeah, just kind of the first and foremost, I started a campaign on GoFundMe.com, and people can find it there, GoFundMe.com. It's /translationbrazil, or you can just type in my name, Hyde Brazil. So I've been to Brazil a couple of times. I spoke at conferences. I've taught a seminary. I've preached in churches. And when this book came out, because some people can read English, many people can speak a little bit, but some can read. People started reading this book and, you know, putting on Facebook or on a website, or maybe a pastor in a sermon would just kind of give a little quotation and say, oh, there's this book and here's what he says. And so people got really excited about this idea, because in the Presbyterian Church in Brazil, which is very, very large, I mean, it's a huge country, and many of the churches, there are kids in the service, but people don't really know why. They're not really instructed on why and how and so forth. Other churches, you know, are much more influenced by, I would say, American evangelical practice, where the kids are, you know, kind of set aside and set out in their own services. And so people started reading and started translating little bits and putting it online, and it got people excited. And so there's been a few times where I've been down there and I've spoken on this topic, and, you know, just rooms are full of people trying to understand, you know, from Scripture, you know, from the Old and New Testament. Whenever God's people gather, there are children all the way up to elderly, you know, in every assembly. And so I was asked to help, you know, secure the rights to translation from the publisher. And so, you know, I got the information for that down to a publisher in Brazil that I've worked with before. You know, people can probably see in the Olympics, and they hear the stories about Brazil. I mean, the economy is terrible. The political situation is terrible. This particular publisher, a very small publisher, there's just, people got to imagine, you know, streets like an American downtown, but with no drainage. So when it rains, you know, everything floods. And so this building where the publisher's housed flooded a couple of feet into it. And so a couple of feet high, that is. And so a lot of damage, a lot of financial cost. And so they asked me if I was able to help them raise money so that they could translate it, just given their situation. I started this GoFundMe campaign only 10 days ago, and we're more than halfway there, basically trying to raise $2,500 so that a translator can be paid, an editor can be paid, and then finally to actually physically produce the books. And also ebook, so people throughout Brazil can get the book. So, you know, in Brazil, it's very people in Brazil, even in the favelas, the the slums, we call them, everybody has Wi-Fi. Everybody has phones.
Hmm.
And access to technology is just very poor. Hmm. And so, you know, even reading physical books, I mean, our culture here is just so different from many parts of the world. But, you know, they want to publish the book in paperback, but also, you know, have it as an e-book that can be downloaded because everybody would have access to that. And it's a huge country as well. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I want to encourage people, you know, if they have a heart for mission work and, you know, spreading biblical truths and helping to encourage people in churches, understand, you know, what worship is and why children should participate and, you know, and just have a heart to bring, you know, biblical reformation to churches that at least outwardly profess the Protestant Reformation, but, you know, maybe not practice it as consistently as others would like. But I encourage people to go online and to find it on GoFundMe.com and, you know, donate $5. I mean, right now the donations have been between $5 all the way up to $300. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, any donation is great. It'll go for a good cause. The Lord will bless the work, we pray.
Mm. Amen. And I see folks on there, as you mentioned, that people can give anonymously if they'd like to. And that is, you can see that on the webpage that they've done that. And then others, their name is listed there. And in some cases, there was a church that gave that this donation comes from this church. They're interested in, you know, providing the funds there to be able to help do this. So they were able to give a $200 donation there. And then others are just individuals, as Daniel mentioned here, even as just $5 to be able to help this. But this will go to help these churches to give out these books and so forth. How many printed books are we talking about that will be printed for the $2,500?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not quite sure. Mm-hmm. I would assume for that cost, you know, somewhere in probably thousand, you know, several thousand, and then because it's a pretty small book. But mostly, you know, the way that most people will access the book will most likely be through ebooks.
Ebooks, okay.
So, but yeah, but there's a bookstore. It's in Recife, which is the very middle of the country on the East Coast. There's a bookstore there, you know, they do ship out books across Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you know, just reading, you know, the culture of reading is a lot different than here.
Mm-hmm.
But people will get the book, and you know, they're hoping that many pastors will be able to get the book. And they have annual conferences throughout Brazil, and so they do bring books and sell books. So
mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, so you know, my hope is that just this initial little campaign will help them get it into print, and then you know, as they you know sell books and recover their cost, and maybe you know make a little more than was invested, they'd have enough money you know to run more and keep it going that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell our listening audience, you can find out about Daniel, as he mentioned there, on that GoFundMe page. If you're familiar with GoFundMe. Services that they have out there, but it's GoFundMe.com, and then if you put a /hide after it, it should take you to where his page is at. You can also look up Daniel Hyde. Hyde is Hyde. Daniel Hyde on Facebook, and you can see some information about this campaign there. Is there somewhere else, Daniel, that we should mention that they can go to learn more about you? And probably we'll see a link to this program as well.
Yeah, besides the Facebook, people can just go to our church website, which is OceansideURC.org, and they'll you know they can read about you know our church and find about me, but also on our homepage they'll see a little link to this campaign.
Excellent. Well, Daniel, thank you so much. Thanks for writing about this subject. Obviously, we talk a lot about being concerned about the next generation. Well, here's a really tangible way to do it, the way that it was done in the scriptures, just having the children in the services with us, in the worship services with us, and being able to pass on to them the things that we believe very naturally and easily by having them right there with us as we're worshiping. So thanks so much for writing this. We pray that God blesses this program and the GoFundMe campaign that you got started.
Yeah, thanks for having me, brother.
You're welcome. That was Daniel Hyde. And again, you can go out to the GoFundMe page and put in his name there, or you can go out to the webpage that he gave for the URC church that he pastors as well. Daniel, H-Y-D-E, that's Daniel Hyde. And you can Google his name, and it'll show you probably a lot of those links on there as well. I think it's very important. You know, we like to have the children in our service, and I think that's a very important thing to do and a biblical thing to do. Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.